Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. Which, of course, I usually, when I'm teaching the rapture, I'll use 1 Corinthians 15, 51, with 1 Thessalonians 4, where we were in our last program. But here we just want to see what Paul is talking about in Philippians when he says that when the Lord comes, he will change this vile body, this body that's made to be corrupted, this body of sin, this body of disease and broken bones and what have you. And it's going to be a new body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 51, where Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. All got it? You know, I had a letter again the other day. Don't go so fast. I can't find them. Well, okay, we'll wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, he says, I show you a mystery. Now, I'm always emphasizing, what does that word mean? A secret. And a secret is something that nobody has ever heard of before. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a secret. That's the whole concept. That Paul is now starting to unroll something here that has never been understood before. The Old Testament believers had no concept of such a thing happening. All they believed is that they would die and they would return to the dust, and at resurrection they would come back on that earthly kingdom. But they had no concepts like this. This is a secret that has been kept in the mind of God and was revealed now to this apostle. So that's why he can rightly say, I'm showing you or revealing to you a secret, a mystery. And here it is. We're not all going to die. There's going to be a group of believers living who will not go through death. And I think Enoch is probably a pretty good illustration of that. You know, Enoch walked with God. He didn't die. He was not. He was translated. And then shortly after, the flood came. And so again, I tie that in with the rapture of the church. We will be here one moment and gone in a split second. And then shortly after, the horrors of the judgment of tribulation will fall. All right, so he's showing us a secret, something that's never been revealed before. The Lord Jesus never mentioned this in his earthly ministry. Peter knew nothing of it. But this is a revelation given to this apostle, and it is that we will not all die, or sleep is the King James word, which means physical death, but whether we die or whether we live, we're all going to be what? Changed. We're going to have a body fashioned after Christ's resurrected body. And we'll look at a few of those things in a moment. All right? So we're all going to be changed. Now verse 52. For those of us who are alive and remain, of course, it's going to be in a moment. And that word in the Greek is the smallest divisible particle of time. And then the next illustration is in the blink of an eye. At the last trump. Now that's singular. Now I've started to emphasize that because I've had several that try to drum the trumpets of Revelation down my throat as being the call of the church. Well, there's no correlation. There's nothing that even comes close to fitting this trumpet of God that Paul speaks of and the trumpets in Revelation. Number one, this is the trumpet of God. It's singular. Revelation, it's seven trumpets given to seven angels, not to announce his coming and the resurrection, but the seven trumpets in Revelation all announce plagues, wrath of God, see, one by one. So I can't see any correlation whatsoever. This is the trumpet of God. It's a singular one. And it shall sound, reading on in verse 52, and the dead in Christ, those of the church age, not the Old Testament believers, but the church age believers, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, see, with a body like his resurrected body, remember, And we, those of us who haven't gone through the process of death and resurrection, we shall all, not just a few select believers, but every believer, whether we're weak, whether we're carnal, or whether we're spiritual, whether we've accomplished a lot or whether we've accomplished nothing, we're all going to be changed. See? And then verse 53, here's the reason. For this corruptible, this body of flesh, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And then verse 54, so when this corruptible, this body that is prone to go back to the dust of the earth, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. Now, you know what that means? That body's going to last for eternity. Now, I was reading again the other night what the astronomers are finding more and more every day, of course, with the explosion of technology. And even though I don't agree with their timing, yet it certainly sets my mind spinning. If, as they say, this universe is billions and billions and billions of years old, that's nothing compared to eternity. We can't put eternity in billions and billions and billions of years, because that would put an end on it. But it's going to be never-ending, almost enough to scare you, isn't it? How are we going to stay interested in being alive that long? But whatever, it's just mind-boggling that this new body that we're going to receive is going to be our abode for eternity, forever. Not limited to a few billion years. Not even limited to a trillion years, but forever and ever and ever. See? Oh, when you think of these things, you wonder how lost people can be so careless. Because they too are going to an eternity. But it's going to be an eternity of misery and sorrow and hopelessness. See? But all right, let's come back. We want to look at the positive. Verse 54, so when this corruptible, this body of flesh that's only been programmed to go now 70 years, and if we're lucky, we might go 80 or 90, but this corruptible shall have put on incorruption so that it will never, never die. And when this mortal, which means will die, shall have put on immortality, which means will never die, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And then jumping down to verse 57, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now let's go back to Luke. Excuse me. Let's go back to Luke and get a picture of this glorious resurrected body. Back to Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24, and this is just one instance. There were several others. The one you remember the best, of course, is when he fell in step with the people on the road to Emmaus, and he walked with them. He visited with them. They invited him in, no doubt, for an evening meal. He went in with them, supped with them, I'm sure, and all of a sudden he's gone. And in a split second, he's in the upper room in Jerusalem with the disciples. And so he would transport from place to place. All right, but now, here in Luke 24, we get a graphic description of that new resurrected body. And it's going to be a literal, visible, physical, yes, spiritual body. All right. Luke 24, verse 36. See, and this is what we have to do. We can't just gloss over a verse and say, well, don't really understand. No, you search the scriptures. And if we're going to have a body fashioned, as he said in Philippians, fashioned after his glorious body, then it behooves us to go into the book and see, well, what was that body like? Well, here it is. This is his resurrected body. Luke 24, beginning at verse 34. And they returned to Jerusalem in verse 33. And they said, the Lord is risen indeed. Now remember, they knew nothing of resurrection before it happened. You know, Peter and John never believed it until they saw the evidence in John 19. All right, and so they told, verse 35, what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now, that's where I think that on the road to Emmaus, when they asked him into the home, he must have had supper with them before he left, because they're now sharing it. Hey, he sat down, he ate with us, he walked with us, see? All right, read on. Verse 36, and as they thus spoke, Jesus himself, see? They were first talking about him, now there he is himself. And he stood in the midst of them. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't lift the window sash. Came right through the wall. Beautiful, isn't it? Boy, I'll tell you what, that's going to be fabulous. That's going to be fabulous. And so he said, peace be unto you. Verse 37, they were terrified. Now this is the 11. They've been with him for 3 years. And they were terrified. And they were affrighted. And supposed that they had seen a spirit. Or like our vernacular, we'd say a ghost. Verse 38, and he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, or look, my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, touch me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see me have. So that's the makeup of our eternal body. It's going to be a body fashioned after his. It's not going to be a body of flesh and blood. It's going to be a body of flesh and bone. Now, of course, the first thing we have to ask, well, if the blood is the life flow of the human body, what is going to maintain life then in the resurrected body? Well, the Spirit will. The Spirit of God becomes what the blood is to us today. And so we'll be comprised of flesh and bone, but it was visible, physical, touchable, tangible. See that? This isn't some ethereal, invisible myth. This is reality. Verse 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now, I pointed out, I think, in our last taping, how that Mary didn't recognize Jesus when he appeared in that pre-dawn light, because the last vision she had of Jesus was the horror of his crucifixion and how he had been so totally disfigured, more than any other man, Isaiah said. And then all of a sudden to see a man standing there perfectly whole with all of his fleshly attributes, see? And so here again, the only thing that demarks his crucifixion now are the nail prints and his feet. But there's no evidence from his being disfigured and so forth, or from the beard being torn from his face and the thorns on his brow. All that is gone, see? But he shows them his hands and his feet. Verse 41, and while they yet believe not. Isn't that amazing? Now, we think the world is in dire straits today because they can't believe the Word of God. You know, I brought that out again Friday night in our Tulsa class. What's the basic trouble with America? We've become a nation destitute of faith. We can't believe the Word of God anymore as a nation of people. But listen, that's not all that unusual. Here are these 11 men who were with him for 3 years, saw the evidence. Peter and John had seen it earlier. They had heard how he had walked with the men on the road to Emmaus. They had heard how he had evidently sat down and had supper with them. And yet, their hearts are so stirred that they can't really believe that it's him. Okay, read on. And when they had this one, he showed them, verse 40, his hands and his feet. And while they yet, verse 41, believed not for joy. In other words, they were so ecstatic. And yet they wondered, and of course the Lord was so compassionate, wasn't he? You and I would have gotten a little bit impatient about this time. What's the matter with you guys? Why can't you believe when you see the evidence? But see, he's so compassionate, and he says, well, let's prove something. Do you have any food? Now, it wasn't that he was hungry and had to eat, but what's he going to do? He's going to prove something. And I love this because I like to eat. And I think we all do. And we're going to have the opportunity to enjoy food in eternity. I know we are. And here is one of the evidences of it. Have you any food? Now verse 42. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. Now look at verse 43 and don't you close your eyes and say, I don't believe it. And he took it and he did eat before them. He ate it. And he didn't pretend, he ate it in that resurrected body. Now verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, back in that 3 years of ministry, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. You know, I've always said the Old Testament was full. The Old Testament was full of everything concerning his first coming. So why didn't they know? Well, it was hidden from them. God didn't intend them to know. And remember, that's God's prerogative. He keeps things hidden until it's time to reveal. In fact, my favorite verse to point that out is right here in Luke. Keep your hand in Luke 24 and just back up a few pages to chapter 18. A verse we've looked at more than once, even on the program. Luke 18. Now, this, of course, is back in his earthly ministry, toward the end of it, but they're up in northern Israel. They're up there at the headwaters of the Jordan River, and they'll soon be heading up to Jerusalem. Luke 18, starting at verse 31. And this is so plain. My, there's no gobbledygook. There's no deep theology here. It's just plain English. And he took unto them the 12, and he said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. What's he telling them? All the things written in the Old Testament are coming to a head. They're about to be fulfilled. And he tells them what it's going to be. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, to Rome, the Romans. And he shall be mocked and spitefully entreated. He was scourged. He was beaten. He was everything. And spitted on. Verse 33, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. He's got it all right there in one package. But look at the next verse. And they, the 12, been with him for 3 years. How much do they understand? None of it. And he told them straight out, and this isn't the only time. He tells them two, three other times the same thing at different times, different events. And here is the reason. They understood none of these things. And this saying or these prophecies was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Well, who hid it? God did. God didn't want them to know, and they were not to know until the right time. See, and this is why Paul can so honestly say that revealed to him were mysteries that had never been revealed to mankind before. Oh, they may be back there in some sort of latent language, but boy, you'd have to be a better scholar than I am to dig it out, because he kept it secret. And the same way here, these 12 men had no idea of what he was talking about. And all in that same light. Keep your hand in Luke 24. I'm not through there yet. Come on over to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 20. And honey, I'm going to give you the verse this time. Verse 8 and 9. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 8 and 9. Amazing. And one dear old Sunday school teacher told me years ago what he was teaching these verses out of his Sunday school quarterly on Easter Sunday morning. He said they went right over these verses. They didn't want us to see that. Isn't that amazing? We don't. Lord, we just walk right into them. Look at what it says. Verse 8. This is when Peter and John come running to the sepulcher, remember. And then went in also that other disciple, which was John, who came first to the sepulcher. And he saw, and he believed. They saw the evidence, remember. Now verse 9. For as yet, up until the moment that they walked into that empty sepulcher, for as yet they, Peter and John now, not a couple poor old shepherd out there in the Judean hills. This is Peter and John themselves. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Isn't that amazing? And the Old Testament was full of it. So why didn't they know? God hid it. Now, you know, I'm always using Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us. But they don't belong to us until it's revealed. And, of course, that always brings me right back to the Apostle Paul's use then of the word mystery. Nobody was supposed to understand it until the Lord revealed it to that apostle. All right, back to Luke 24 now then. So here we have these men who've been with him for 3 years, whose minds had been providentially closed so that they did not understand, but now they've got the proof standing right there in front of them in his resurrected body. All right, back to verse 42. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, a piece of honeycomb. He took it, and he did eat before them to show them that he was plain physical makeup. But remember now, he is not with blood, but he still has the hands, he has the feet, he has the upright stature. And, well, you had the same thing in Acts chapter 1 when he ascended. And the 11 stood there and they watched him go. Well, did they see some kind of an enigma? No. They saw the risen, resurrected Lord as he is now showing them that he can eat. All right, verse 44 again. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. That's why I took you back to Luke 18. Which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now verse 45. What did it take for those 11 men to finally put it all together? The Lord himself had to open their understanding. Verse 45. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Mind-boggling? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. But see, it's no different today. I can teach until I'm blue in the face. I go 5 nights a week now, but I could go 10. And it wouldn't make a bit of difference unless the Lord opens the hearts. It has to be. But on the other hand, we have to fulfill our requirement of getting it out there so that when the Lord does open their hearts, it's ready to take root. All right, so always understand that these things were kept hidden from these men until God was ready to reveal it. Now then, going on in verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead through the third day. That's what the whole scope of Scripture was leaning on, was his coming to die, to suffer, to be raised from the dead, and then to show himself openly that he was alive and showing us the kind of a body that we will one day enjoy. Okay, have I got time? 1 minute. Let's go back quickly to Matthew. I hope it's 17, otherwise I'm in trouble. Matthew 17, we'll do this quickly in 60 seconds. Here we have another glimpse of that glorious body that we're going to have ourselves one day.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.